You're listening to Film Week on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. Lance Armstrong's story is well known. The American professional cyclist beat cancer, won his sport's biggest, most grueling race, the Tour de France, 7 times, a record from 1995 to 2001, but became a social pariah after publicly admitting in 2013 he'd used performance-enhancing drugs throughout his run. Since then, Armstrong has mostly avoided the spotlight, leaving only speculation as to his side of the story. But that's changing. This weekend, ESPN debuts part one of Lance, a 2-part documentary in their acclaimed 30 for 30 series. Director Marina Zenovich stitches together footage from her hours of interviews with Lance's former teammates, support staff, friends, and with Armstrong himself. He talks about his rise to fame, his fall from grace, and how he's processed it all.
Were we getting injections of vitamins and other things like that at an earlier age? Yes, but they weren't illegal. So that, you know.
But did you know?
Know what?
What was in those injections?
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. Come on. I'm not one of those guys. I was like, whoa, what do we have here? I always asked, I always knew, and I always made the decision on my own. Nobody said, don't ask, this is what you're getting. That I never, ever would have gone for that. I educated myself on what was being given, and I chose to do it.
The Frame's John Horn interviewed Zenovich last week, and he began by asking her if the movie she wanted to make and the movie Armstrong wanted were the same.
Well, I thought they were, and I think maybe for Lance in a few years, he'll think that they are. But I think that in his heart of hearts, as much as he's processed and as much as we connected and as much as he wanted to talk, he was guarded. And he had the intention to get things off his chest, but I don't know if he kind of knew who he was working with, in the sense that it's really a bit of a dance, an elaborate fencing match. It's, you know, we're both trying to get what we want. And I was under the impression that he was cool with what I wanted, but I don't know if he was in the end.
Because in some ways it feels as much a psychological profile as an athletic profile. And it feels like so much of your film is about Lance Armstrong trying to wrap himself around what he did and how what he did was received.
Yeah, and I think we caught him mid-process. I don't know if he understands what he did or wants to face it. I think he tries, but I don't think that's something you can sit with 24/7. I think that's something that, you know, you do try to rationalize because there was ugly behavior. I tried to see the best in Lance, knowing what he did. I didn't experience what he did, but I spoke to people about what he did. I'm trying to humanize Lance Armstrong, which some people just don't want to hear because of what he did. But that is my job as a documentary filmmaker, to go deeper and try to get my subject to see themselves and understand what they've done. Did he see that? Maybe he did. I hope he did. He said, ask me anything. That's heaven to me, to be able to just go there. And I felt like he was willing to go there. Yes, he was guarded. He didn't want to say some things, but I feel like he said a lot as well.
Everybody who was racing pretty much at the time was on some sort of performance-enhancing drug and lied about it. But what Lance Armstrong did was different. He not only lied about it, he went after the people who said he was cheating. And that included people like Betsy Andreu, who was married to a former teammate of Lance's, Frankie Andreu, and Emma O'Reilly, who was his therapist. So it feels like part of what Lance is doing, and I think more so with Emma than with Betsy, is he is finally, with great reluctance, apologizing to the people whose lives he destroyed, including Greg LeMond, another cyclist whose bike line Lance Armstrong essentially put out of business. it feels like he's trying to apologize to the people that he went after.
He is trying. Some of those people would say, you're not trying hard enough. Some of those people would accept his apology. I mean, what was fascinating about this journey was to see how different people responded in different ways. How some people like Emma O'Reilly, his physical therapist, masseuse, was able to get past it. That's who she is as a person. I mean, ultimately, it comes down to who you are. And, you know, Betsy, I think, just can't get past it. And I understand why. But you get to this core issue of he's trying as much as he can. Some people say, well, he's not trying enough. He's trying as much as he can. And there has to be some, you just have to let it go at some point, I think. But I say that knowing that he didn't do anything to me.
Lance Armstrong gave you incredible physical access. You are with him with his family. You're with him in various private moments. You're with him in the kitchen. But it feels like one of the rare moments where he really becomes emotionally available to you is when he's talking about Jan Ullrich. Jan Ullrich is a great writer who was probably Lance's number one rival. He's from Germany, and he was caught for doping, and his life really spiraled downward quickly. What was it about the conversation with Jan Ullrich that became so powerful in this film?
Well, I just want to say that Lance ended up talking about Jan at a moment in one of our interviews where I was all set to go through the cancer story with him. And I was nervous about it and really needed, when someone has talked about something so many times, you really need to get them to a place of going deep. And so I wanted to talk about that. And he looked at his watch and said, you have 10 minutes left. And I said, oh my God, I was going to ask you about cancer. You can't tell that whole story in 10 minutes. So we had been talking about Jan and the fact that he was suffering. So I just like grabbed whatever I could think of and said, you know, why did you go to Germany to see Jan Ullrich? And we all were just blown away by his response because kind of by accident, I ended up touching something in him, which was how he felt about Jan. And he went into a very emotional moment where it's not like I was trying to get him to cry. I mean, it's not like my goal. I'm trying to get people to be in touch with what they're saying and what they're feeling. And you want people to be emotional. But I think for him, you know, what happened to Jan could have happened to Lance. And after that moment with Lance, I have to say that I think he really enjoyed going deep. And I think he has, I don't want to say enjoyed, but I think he has appreciated the process of trying to figure out who he is and what he did and coming to terms with it. And you can't say that about everyone. So am I defending him? No, I'm just stating a fact. But I thoroughly enjoyed not only talking to Lance, but talking to all these cyclists, George Hincapie, Tyler Hamilton, Ivan Basso, you know, Floyd Landis. These guys have amazing stories to tell. And I'm really proud of this work.
Marina Zenovich is the producer and director of the documentary Lance. Marina, thanks so much for sharing your time with us.
Thank you, John.
Director Marina Zenovich talking with KPECC's John Horn about her new two-part ESPN 30 for 30 documentary, Lance. You can see part one live on ESPN this Sunday night at 6. Part 2 airs Sunday, May 31st, also at 6 o'clock Pacific. Both are available on demand via ESPN Plus immediately following the broadcast. Thanks so much for joining us. From all of us at Film Week, have a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend.